Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big, long-winded speech to all practice of today for you gentlemen, but unfortunately, I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our
Thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downey, a.k.a. Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is Bobo Bad. Apparently, how are you doing today, Bobo?
I'm good.
You're good? Apparently, Zach is missing in action at this point in time. I saw him like 10, 15, 20 minutes ago, something like that, in the chat room, and he looked like he was still alive, so... either he passed out from the alcohol or he just doesn't know what time it is yet. So, in the meantime, at least we get to make fun of him. So feel free to make Zach Black jokes throughout the show.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe he's not here.
See, this is what happens when you... And you become a co-host to a show, and you run late, and you get picked on by the people on the air until you get there. So that's all right. Let's see. Where should we really start? How are you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. I don't know. I mean, where do you want to start? I mean, I can explain more about... how Satanism worked with Christianity in my childhood, if you want me to, or, you know.
Yeah, let's get a little back history to start. That sounds good. You recently made a big change in the banner that you're flying, so I'm interested to hear how you got there.
Okay, my father was a closet Levian Satanist, but he claimed Christianity, actually, and he explained it as the fact that Christ Church had been lost and that it was the smallest group amongst everybody, and he was referring to Satanists, that he thought that's how he kind of moved it into that. And then I was taught like that Christians used might as to conquer the world because their God was bigger than everybody else's God. Pretty much every point of Christianity was filtered through Levian Satanism, and I didn't even know that's what it was until about a year ago, actually. I thought that it was some weird form of Christianity that nobody had ever heard of before, that my dad had invented or something, until I read the Satanic Bible.
And then you realize that how long he'd been pimping LaVey's ideology into you?
Yeah. And I mean, like, most of the books, I was required to read so many books in the summer. And, like, they were, like, I think I was, like, 13 when I read Zarathustra Speaks, for example. Or I read Might is Right, I think, when I was like 14 or 15, because my dad told me I had to read it, stuff like that.
That's cool. So you started off with the, I would guess, right mindset. So when I first came across you, you were claiming adversarial Christianity. Is that the title you were using at that time?
Yes. Because what my father believed, he had filtered it through Christianity to such an extent that I actually thought that was relatively valid and that the two could be combined. But the more I've looked into it, the more I've realized that that's kind of impossible at the end of the day. You know, it's fake, you know. So I've switched now.
you switched, and you switched mainly for the purpose of making sure that the cover of the book matches the content? Is that,
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I've noticed, and maybe I shouldn't bring it on the air, but I think that it's interesting nonetheless. I've noticed that you've been doing quite a bit of introspect lately, and it seems like there's almost a surge of reconciliation going on in your head right now. Would I be correct in categorizing it that way?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
The most recent thing that I saw was you talking about, well, it was entitled The Morning After, and you were just talking about having been in situations or done things that you weren't necessarily so proud of, or maybe you came close to doing them and wouldn't have been so proud of them. I'm curious as to what the catalyst for all of this is.
Well, I actually kind of quit believing in God a few weeks ago, so it's made me reassess a lot of different things as a result of that, and, I've been actually going through, some journals and things, and that was some stuff that I was pulling out, because I was like, this stuff is not quite settled yet mentally, so I'm trying to settle myself with some of those decisions. That's actually why I wrote the blog about it, because it's kind of like putting it out there and talking about it kind of makes you have to talk about it.
Right on, which is, I think, in turn why I decided that I'd go ahead and throw it up on here on the show and get a little bit of chance for you to do some audio clarification of it as well, you know. There's any particular subject that you want to talk about, this show is really about you. So you just pipe up and say, hey, I'd like to talk about this instead or whatever, and that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, kind of trying to take it easy. Now, a lot of people have gained quite a bit of respect for you over a very short period of time, and I think that's interestingly enough due to your ability to articulate your thoughts as well as rationally assess things. And so I think it's really interesting. I don't know if you intend to take advantage of the current interest and support that you've gathered, or if right now it's just a period of transition for you, and, you know, that therefore the support's just there, you know, as something to say, hey, you know, I'm making the right choices in my own life.
Well, for me personally, especially coming out of the closet, so to speak, and realizing what I am and stuff, it's actually been, the experience in itself has been enough. However, I do have something that I'm just starting to work on. Last year when I read the Satanic Bible, I wrote some poems based on the Satanic virtues. I have this, you can explain it to a child, you can explain it to anybody's philosophy. So I'm actually planning on turning those into a children's book, but marketing it as a regular children's book to kind of spread the message around to the youth.
I see. And plant the seeds without the without any suspicion as to what plan it's going to grow into, kind of idea, huh?
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you spend quite a bit of time on Satanic International Network, and I know that you you actually found it through the Church of Satan's Facebook page, and you've made the statement several times that you're happy that you found it, because otherwise you'd have been like the COSers, and, you know, without real contact. So
yeah, I actually think that Satanic International Network is probably the future of this in a lot of ways. I see it growing into more of a worldwide cabal where people can be individual and they don't have to subscribe to any one thing, but they're all getting to share their ideas and communicate with each other. And, you know, I really think that's where this is going to move eventually, is more to internet forums. And at this point, we're actually starting to talk about meeting in real life, which means that it's going to make that transition, which is good.
Right. Well, I realize you're kind of new to the scene. I've been hanging around the internet Satanism for, I don't know, about somewhere around 10 years, and I've seen a lot of meetups suggested and fall through. So I just I don't want you to pin your hopes too high on it. If it happens, that'll be awesome. But I found that most Satanists are Satanists when they're at the keyboard, but as soon as they walk away from that computer, they're a different person. So.
I realize that, like, I've heard that before, and I've even seen it sometimes myself, and it's actually kind of surprising to me, because I think that if you really understand the philosophy, you're going to be that way all the time. You won't take it on and off like a code. It'll kind of infect every aspect of your life.
You would think so, but it seems to me that it's kind of necessitates a certain fortitude, if I could can use that terminology, since stating that you need a certain level of balls just doesn't sound as, doesn't sound as graceful. But you have to have a certain level of fortitude when you're, putting it into application. Just to coherently understand the philosophy, you still have to have the guts to put it to work. I think that's one of the things that I appreciate most about the idea behind Dan Dredd's autodiabolic method, is that it's something that once you start really putting into play, once you start playing adversary with absolutely everything, and you start really examining your ideologies and start looking at the things that you thought made you tick, and you strip it away down to nothing, you sometimes come up with an entirely different creature than what you started with, and I think you're probably a good example of that in progress, so.
Oh, no, exactly, and I think his autodiabolic method is fantastic. I mean, I've read all the stuff, I listened to the BTR show, and I think it's amazing, I really do. I think it takes it, forward and in a different direction, and kind of pulls off a lot of the occult stuff, which I personally think is nice because I'm not very into that kind of stuff myself.
Right on. The idea, I think, originally was that this was information that wasn't, generally accepted, and it was frowned upon and demonized and scrutinized, so they kept it, hidden in certain documents and rituals and things, so that the ideas would flourish, but kind of under the radar. And I think that's really sort of, where occultism comes from. All that devilry, all that drapery, all the knives and symbols and rituals, chambers and whatever, all of those things can be built in your own psyche without actually having the external tool. And I think this is really more indicative of something a little greater. When I contrast theism and atheism, I come up with the same kind of answer. The answer that the theist those things outside of themselves because that's the only way that they know how. And an atheist works inside himself because that's the only thing that he knows. So, just my perspective, but it's interesting same.
I agree. And I actually, it's part of why I like the term autotheism better, because it kind of takes it a step further, because there are some atheists that are they might as well be the way they act about it. I mean, it takes such a dogmatic slant and nothing will change their mind. I like the idea more of self-deification than, I don't believe in God. That's too simple in a way.
Yeah, I could completely understand what you mean. I'm actually thinking here, though, before we get too much further along, it's been about, 15 minutes and we haven't seen Zach yet?
Yep, no Zach.
Yeah. All right, so this means that Zach's in trouble because the show's got a call-out feature, so give me a second to pull his phone number out of my phone, and then we're calling his ass.
Okay.
So just hang on the line there for a minute. Okay, hopefully that wasn't too much button beeping.
Hi, this is Zach. Leave me a message and I'll call you back.
Zach, this is a total fail, man. We're 43 minutes
Zach,
left on the show. Go ahead.
Zach, come on now, get up.
Yeah. Total fail. All right, we're hanging up. Okay, so I guess with that being done and everything, if he doesn't call back, then I have the right to completely and totally bust his chops the whole time, so that should be awesome. Alright, so on that note, let's see. I was kind of depending on the fact that Zach would have other questions, because he might know you a little better than I do. I don't have the opportunity to hang out in the chat room as much as he does, so.
Yeah.
I'm curious, now, are there people that you interact with on a daily basis that are maybe inspirational to you?
My father obviously is. As for within the satanic community, I mean, honestly, it's going to sound like everybody else's list at the end of the day, you know.
right.
I mean, I admire Zach for his love of life, and I think Dan Dredd's got probably one of the best minds in the community. You know, you and Ego and Darkfool and Jason King and XG, I think that she's brilliant. I mean, she always makes me pause and think. I'm always like, whoa, you know. As for me with personal influences, and I think this is really interesting, too. I've done some blogs and things on this. To really tap into the adversarial current, I had to go kind of a more girly way because Satan is so, as an archetype, is so male in a way. So I kind of had to take it through a female filter kind of. And I wound up having to go with goddesses like Lilith and Babylon and some of the other ones. And the Satanic Witch in particular was a huge influence. And it's kind of the whore goddess current, so to speak, is kind of what I went with, your female devils.
Right. Did you say core or whore goddess? I didn't really...
Whore goddesses. Yeah.
Okay. Whore. Yeah. All right. See, my ears are terrible, so sometimes I'll completely mishear things, which makes for an interesting conversation, but... at the end of the day, it can make me look a little ridiculous, so you'll have to excuse me on that. You did say whore. Okay, I see. Yeah, you typed in the chat room for me. Thanks.
Yeah.
how do you see that? How do you see that archetype being important?
Go ahead. I think it's very important. I mean, when you look at Lilith, for example, she's supposed to have rebelled against God for being forced to submit. The Ptolemaic Babylon I like quite a bit because she's the high goddess of the pantheon. And I like it in particular because it's, for me, I feel it's more about using sex and sexuality as being comfortable with it and then also using it as a plus in life, you know, being very feminine, being very in touch with that. But then, you know, being willing to use that to kind of, I mean, I can tell a lot of times how somebody really is, just because I can come off as very sexual and people will ignore that I have a brain at all. And I can tell right then that they're dismissible most of the time, quite honestly.
Right, so that gives you a little bit of leverage, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes,
I forget who it was that made the statement, but just recently I saw somebody made a statement about men and women being fundamentally the same, except for men are hypnotized by breasts. And I had to kind of laugh about that because I thought that was the perfect capture of what's really going on there. Actually, now that I think about it, it was your writing that was in, right?
Yep, that was me. That was me, yeah.
It was very, very clever and very well put. I think a lot of times you get these guys who generally are intellectually robust, and you set a pair of bare tits next to them, and they dribble and drool and talk like Cousin Herman from... you know, the second county in Kentucky, you know.
Oh, yeah, just... indeed. Well, not only that, but, I mean, so it's a funny thing, actually. I mean, there's a lot of times an assumption that women are one way or another, like they have to be put into a box. And I kind of like to defy that, you know. A lot of times it's smart or pretty, so to speak. So I like to be both, because that's more fun.
Being both? Yeah, I would assume it should be. Now, was there any particular section that you liked in The Satanic Witch over all the rest, or was the whole book just like a home run for you?
Oh, it was a home run for me. I kind of felt like if somebody had followed me around and, like, tried to do that like as a biography or not. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It read like, oh, like I do all that. Ooh, yeah. So yeah, I mean, now of course I don't do, and I also like the lesser magic and psychological aspects of it that he talks about. Like my favorite thing about there is how to dilate your eyes, how to make them dilate more. I don't know. I thought that was like the newest trick that I'd never thought of that before.
Right. Now, have you tried it since?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It works. And his uniform, I don't wear it most of the time, but if you actually want to get what you want in your woman, yeah, just dress exactly like he said in there. You'll do fine. I have tried that. That
yeah,
does
I've tried
work.
That.
Yeah.
Now, coming from somebody who previously was, I don't want to say wrapped up in Christian ideology, because your dad obviously planted a good firm seed of independent mind in there. But how did you deal or negotiate with some of the anti-sexual pressures that come with the Christian community?
Well, I didn't. Not for a lot of years. And as great a job as my father did when it came to sex, he might as well have been a conservative Christian. I mean, that the chastity, virginity, all that was beating our heads. And it actually took me a long time of kind of being, like, secretively myself, I guess you would say. Like, I would sneak off and do things that I wasn't comfortable with anybody knowing about. I finally realized, like, that's really unhealthy. Yeah, so I finally, a couple years ago, actually, I lost a bunch of weight and I got more comfortable with myself. And then I got more in tune with what my sexuality really is, because quite honestly, it was pretty repressed actually before. And I still have some awkward moments now because of that. I'm trying to be more comfortable than the average woman is.
Now, by repressed, what part of your sexuality do you feel was repressed? The frequency of wanting it, the frivolousness of who you chose as a partner? I mean, which part was repressed?
Oh, all of it. I dressed very conservatively. If somebody asked me, I just got embarrassed. I didn't have orgasms. I didn't even want to have sex at all. And it just, one day it was like, well, I'm done with this. And I'm also bisexual, so I would do that on the side, behind my husband's back and stuff. So that was actually a pretty big one. We actually almost broke up over that, ironically enough.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just you know, my girl comes home and tells me, "Hey, I'm banging this chick. I'm sorry, I've been doing it for a while now. I'm gonna be like, at a girl." Just, you know, here's the video camera. Please use this.
I think my husband was more shocked at the fact that I was doing it at all, because I was, you know, like I said, I was. It wouldn't seem to be a behavior that I would do, and he was more upset at the lying. Let's see, when I was sexually repressed, I also slept with my boss to get him fired. I told you that story on the Revenge Show.
Right.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. So this really has been a big, long transformation for you. I mean, when you're getting down to what I consider to be the fundamental basics, the things that you have to have to be able to function as a person. I mean, Abraham Maslow suggested that the ability to have sex was in the bottom layer of needs that needed fulfilled by people in order to, you know, self-actualize. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen it. They taught it in high school and, college for some people, but high school for the rest of us. You know, this little pyramid with these different colored little levels going up to the top kind of looks like Bender's pyramid, only not so full of shit. at the bottom of it was, you know, like the basic things you need to be able to do. You need to be able to eat. You need to be able to sleep. You need to be able to, defecate and urinate. You need to be able to have sex. You know, in the next level is you need to have a roof over your head. You need to have, whatever the things that make you feel safe.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and sex is a fundamental. And I think it's, that's one thing that I really have against Christian theology, in spite of what my dad managed to do with it, is that it does not allow an ability to be comfortable with yourself in that nature at all. I mean, period. You know, you have to conform to the morality that exists with it, which, quite honestly, I don't think that most women subscribe to at all.
Right. You don't think most women subscribe to the morality of Christianity, or?
Yeah, no, I don't think that, I mean, on a sexual level in particular, I think that fails women especially, but men too. Unless you're Mormon.
Right on. Well, I was lucky enough that I was raised in a house where my mom, even though she was a Baptist, she had this attitude that you were going to believe whatever you wanted to believe, and here's the information, you know, make up your own damn mind about it, was her kind of deal. So when I started researching Satanism at 15 years old, you know, I found it was something for me, and I didn't have to deal with those repressions so much. You know, now I had been sexually active for a few years at that point, but nothing impressive, you know, a couple of times here and there. You know, so I can't imagine people who are our age, because you're, what, maybe 2-3 years younger than me?
I'm 31.
Yeah, so I just turned 34, so yeah, you're just a few years younger than me. I can't imagine having lived the greater part of my adult life denying myself being able to act on sexual impulses. I can't imagine the level of guilt that it would build psychologically. This whole transformation that you're going through, it must be like a huge breakdown.
It is, and it feels like the only way I can describe it is that I feel free now. Like, it's been, see, to me, that's what Satanism represents, is freedom.
We'll be back.
I mean, that's where my brain always goes, is that it's freedom, if you really get it. So I really am enjoying it. I'm appalled at the level of misunderstanding that exists about it, because I really think that, I don't know, a lot of people could use a good, healthy dose of it.
I would absolutely agree with you. I mean, of course, you know, one of my main mission statements is the diabolical infestation of the world, you know, to quote Zach, who's not here, loser. Zach's totally getting his nuts busted from here on out, guys. So, all right, but let me do this. I'm going to go ahead and let's throw out our call in numbers 347-989-1371. If anybody wants to call in and ask Bobo questions, this is the time to do it. If not, I'll continue to probe her on her current transformation and hopefully not make her feel too uncomfortable. So now
I'm a bit of a fangirl of yours. I'm not entirely uncomfortable.
You're a bit of a fangirl of mine? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
You enjoy the show is what you're saying, right?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy the show. I think I'm here pretty much every time y'all do it.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and actually I do appreciate that. Even when nobody else shows up, you're there, so, you know.
Yeah, and I've told other people about it. I've spread the word. I did a blog on it. Yeah, I've been trying to do what I can to kind of get the word out there about the show, because I think it's a good one. As a matter of fact, I think that one of our guests is probably my best friend. So,
which one's that?
I'm not sure. It just says guest. I'm not sure with
That's listening. Oh, I understand what you mean now. I was thinking you were talking about somebody I had previously on the show. I'm going to answer this next line, but I'm going to say Sean Hartnell. Don't make me regret this. All right. Sean, welcome to the news.
Hey, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah. Yes, we can
hear
you. Hello.
Yeah, I was talking about this last night, and Bobo, are you willing to talk about Project?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I didn't hear you talk about it, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, I was telling him earlier that I was planning on writing a children's book based on the virtues and the state. I actually put one of the poems up. I've got to adapt it a little bit as a blog entry. It was Hypocrite. And I'm working on one right now with Lemmings. And one of them is a lemming that does not does not comply with society, and it's the only one that lives after the other one's run off the cliff. So,
Sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what you come up with. I'll save the big round of applause for the end product when I can actually pop on here and say, "Hey, go buy this book here." So
exactly. Yeah.
But I've got a 4-year-old at home. I'll tell you what, you put together a good book, and he'll be reading it every night before bed. So.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Was I was like, well, everybody writes occult books for adults. Nobody ever takes it and tries to adapt it for kids, at least on a periphery level where they're kind of getting some of the messaging. So that's kind of where the idea came from. What could I do that nobody else is doing? So.
I think that's awesome. Do you have a plan in terms of, different life lessons that you want to teach through there?
Yeah, I want to do a one where Mind is Right, where basically it's the bully picking on kids that refuse to, you know, fight back. And then kind of like, you know, the smallest kid fights back and wins kind of thing. You know, different stuff like that. I've got to actually pull this stuff out. I've been actually researching the children's book market right now a little bit, which is relatively interesting because I really don't want Feral House to publish it. You know, that's not going to make it go as far for sure.
Right on. Well, let me actually ask you, are you intending to have anybody in specific illustrate the book? Because that could make or break it right there.
Well, yeah. That's what I was, my husband may do it. He's got some ideas. But me and Hartner were actually talking about last night and saying it'd actually be cool if Ego did it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of who I had in mind, actually. I know he would jump right on board that project, so it might be something you want to bring up to him.
Yeah, exactly, and that would be really cool because it would be kind of a, you know, full circle, you know.
Well, it would be subversive as hell.
It would be.
All right, guys, I have to go out and have a cigarette, so if it gets a little loud on my end, I'm sorry. In the meantime, Zach, if you decide to finally call in, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah,
just throwing that out there in case he's listening. Yeah. All right, so Sean, did you have any other questions for Bobo?
Actually, I just wanted to make sure, like, the book is just cool, so that was it.
Oh, I agree. That's definitely something worth mentioning on here. I think it's great that someone would do that. I'm interested to see what the end project is, and anything I can do to assist, I mean, just let me know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will. And well, also for me, I mean, I have 5 kids, so I know how they're so bad. You know, you have kids. Children's books suck right now, you know, so it'd be nice to kind of at least do something better. So.
Right. They certainly are terrible. I mean, some of the books that I've had to read my kid to before he went to bed, I'm rolling my eyes going, why did anybody buy this kid this book?
Good Night Moon. I always wanted to just stab myself in the eye so I didn't have to finish reading that thing. Oh, I hated that book. Oh.
I did find one. I'm trying to remember what it was called. A Monster Halloween or something like that. Kids' book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, awesome book. He loved it so much that he memorized it. Like, we'd flip the pages, and he would be telling me what it was saying as I was reading it.
So. Oh, yeah. I was going to say Shel Silverstein, but Wicked Pup said it in the chat room. But, yeah, Shel Silverstein was my favorite when I was a kid. I always thought he was awesome, you know.
Right. Well, I'm kind of actually surprised that there aren't more occult-oriented children's books out there. I mean, when I remember nursery rhymes as a child, they all seemed to have that same kind of vibe to them, you know, London Bridges and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and I mean, the early on messages are, I mean, like, I don't know, Aesop's Fables? I mean, that's just kind of sinister.
Oh, can I say something here? I think that most children books, unlike hers, treats kids like idiots. And that's why, you know, they are the way they are. And that's one reason I think this is so cool. It doesn't treat kids like idiots. It says this is the way life is. And it's like a head start. It's awesome.
Right on. All right. Well, that was a quick cigarette done. I'm back here to the switchboard. Anybody wanting to call in, it's 347-989-1371. You'd think I'd have the damn thing memorized after a year and a half, but I don't.
Oh.
I know Dan said he was going to call in and harass you a little bit, but I haven't seen him come
so
up
too.
Yet. Yeah. And takers? See, I'm going to have to do that thing where I start calling people out because, you know, I run out of things, questions to ask pretty easily, especially when I have a chance to interact with people. you know, I forget, oh yeah, this was a point of interest, this was a point of interest. I just don't function like that, so. Worst comes to worst, we can talk about why the principal's office is not such a bad place to be sent. I'm a sit
no,
spank, imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, well, I mean, XG was talking about, you know, her, I'm sorry, my kids are yelling. I kind of forgot my train of thought. But she was talking about her own personal sexual fetishes. There you go. And, you know, mine are actually kind of similar, which is interesting. You did ask me in the chat room the other day about dark imagery and stuff, and I was telling you that I was more butterflies than kittens. You thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely, I mean, because to me it seems like that's one of the linchpins of Satanism is the association or the interest in the dark imagery, but when you say you're all butterflies and kittens, it kind of throws a big monkey wrench into that whole theory, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I did like vampires, but I liked the really lame vampire stories, you know.
by really lame, you mean?
Yeah, I was asking the same question.
You know, like, I really liked Anne Rice. That was probably the darkest I got, was Anne Rice, which at the end of the day is nowhere near where that was. I was a goth for about a year, but it was trendy. Other than that, I was more, you know, just the opposite of that. I was never really into, you know, the more gruesome or grotesque things. I didn't get into heavy metal music till a couple years ago even, you know, more pop music, stuff like that.
Really? So you've just, like, been on this kind of long-standing transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's interesting. And then you said your sexual fetishes were similar to XG's, so I'm assuming that means your switch in nature?
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
Are you switching nature, or are you bringing out your natural nature and letting it flow?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm into BDSM, and it's actually something I haven't tapped into much. I'm trying to, but I have to kind of drag my husband kicking and screaming into that area. He's not very comfortable with it. So yeah. But more submissive, actually, so.
That's interesting. And so then what do you think of the recent threat exchange between Jason King and I, where he's discussing that submission is not satanic, it's not a satanic idea at all?
I really disagree with that, because I think that women, I think somewhere deep down, do want to submit to a man that's larger than them. I think it's natural and normal. I don't think that that's a slave.
I think we lost her. Yeah, we lost her. Okay. Bobo, as soon as you realize you hung up, come out and call back in. Still got a few minutes left in the show. In the meantime, Sean, what's up?
I just wanted to comment on that, whether or not submission is satanic or not. The thing about submission in BDSM is that power isn't taken. You know, a dominant just doesn't take power from the submissive. The submissive gives their power, and it's kind of like to help explore them. It's the dominant helps the process of self-discovery. And for that to happen, the submissive has to be comfortable and feel safe with the dom. You know, it's all, if it's not absolutely on the up and fully chosen by the submissive, you know, it's not, it's something else.
Oh, yes, I agree.
I was going to say, I think I agree too. I got to know, though, man, you kind of run like this. like these mental circles around yourself and trying to express what you say. And I'm just trying to figure out how the hell that happens, because you seem to be such a smart guy, and sometimes you just seem dense because you're racing around these same circles over and over again.
Can you give me an example?
Just now, you basically kind of tap danced around how you wanted to express what you were saying instead of just directly saying it. It's like you had to stop for a second and make sure that you had the perfect word, and it was all pretty and ready to be presented, and then you moved on to the next word and so forth. So that would be my example.
Right. I'm just now starting to get into debate again. And see, the thing is, actually speaking and talking about views helps you organize it in your mind. I admit, shit is very disorganized up there. I'm just now getting a lot of stuff organized.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then. There's hope for you after all. We've got Bobo back on the line, which is good. Welcome back. I'm assuming the phone just said fuck views and hung up.
Yeah, it did. It did. I was typing in the chat room. I was like, my phone, but it won't let you put a cuss word. So.
I found the easiest way to get around that is to put a little hyphen between a couple of the letters. So, you know, mm-hmm. Fuck is like FU-CK, and then it comes right up.
Ah, I see now.
Believe me, for somebody who's so dependent on my cursing vocabulary, it's necessary to know how to cuss in every format.
Indeed.
One of my trips over to China, actually, my first trip over to China, the first thing I did was pin them down and try to get them to teach me cuss words. Only I didn't realize that the social etiquette there is that they're not going to tell you what those words are, no matter how much bigger than them you are. So, we've got another caller on the line. I'm going to bring them on. Caller, you're on the news.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, this well, I'm
hey,
Deez,
yeah,
doing?
What's going on, man? How's everything?
Everything's good, man.
Yeah, I've been listening to the show. It's really exciting. It's like the Wu-Tang Clan of Satanism. Whoa, you know what I'm saying? So it's good. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Right on.
Yeah, so I want to ask the guest about a little bit more about the children's book. That sounds like a really hot project. Glad someone's putting that out. That's really novel, you know. So any projected dates on that, or?
I actually wrote the poems, like I said, about a year ago. I just need to take them and adapt them, because mm-hmm. I run into my kids, but I omitted the gruesome parts. So mm-hmm. I'm figuring that I'm going to have this done within 3 to 6 months. It shouldn't be long at all.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, I look forward to that. Yeah, let me know. I'm sure Beef will keep us posted on that, because that's really pretty interesting and intense. And just another thing, just one more question. Is that all right? I don't know how you guys are with time right now, but about the Christianity, it seems like, was everything conflictual in your process as a Satanist, as far as maybe like some of your background with Christianity and things of that nature? And how did you work out to be the person that you are today?
Well, I had some, I was always different, and I never quite thought the same. And I kind of, I shut down, and that's the only way I can explain for a lot of years. And then mm-hmm. a couple years ago, I realized that I was miserable, and the person that I was as a kid was not who I was even vaguely at all. It was like a different person was standing in the mirror, so I just kind of, I just took the time to peel all that off. I used metaphysical concepts mostly to get most of the psychological stuff worked out, which is I really put myself in the place of realizing that, you know, I was okay and that there was, you know, there was a basis for it within mythology and metaphysics and other places, and then I kind of just dropped all that as soon as I got to that point.
Yeah. Did you have, like, any other, like, support on that level? Like, from outside people, or was it just, like, just the information that you was going through with the metaphysics?
It was mostly personal, and it was mostly all self-done. My father helped quite a bit. He actually gave me all of the books that I had. He gave me almost everything that Crowley had done. Satanic Bible, Satanic Witch, Satanic Witch, Satan Speaks and stuff. Because I decided I was a Wiccan, and he hated that. So he didn't want me to be a Wiccan anymore. He was like, "You're not a Wiccan. You need to read this." And that's the only reason he came out of the closet to me, actually, is because he hated that more.
Wow, yeah. Now, I just was asking because I had went through a similar process coming up, actually. So just sometimes it's interesting to hear different viewpoints on how people arrive to where they're at today, you know? So it's good. It's all good. So I'll catch y'all another time. I'm going to be listening in on the computer. Just trying to finish up some stuff over here at work before I get out. But, yeah, it's nice talking with you. Yeah. It's really good talking to you. All right, thanks,
Steve. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, I'll catch you later. Okay, all right.
Bye. All right, and now we've got Dan Dredd hanging on the line, so hopefully I'll get him on here. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there we go. Dan, you're on.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Okay, yeah, a couple questions for Bobo, since we got her on the spot here. A lot of people make a big deal out of the whole born-not-made dichotomy in Satanism. And you can generally tell people that are made of the right stuff by interacting with them. And I'm always curious when such a person believes in God and then loses that belief, exactly what that thought process is. Can you remember the exact moment or the exact thing that you read or thought about when that belief just collapsed and it all sort of, to use a term that Jason King likes, collapsed into the self pole? And also, do you see things any differently now that that's happened? Is there any fundamental differences in how you see the world?
Well, the exact moment was probably actually there was a thread on Zen that was talking about the fact that first cause theory isn't very scientifically valid, which is actually, God is the point that I was at, had been taken down to basically an energy that permeated everything. It didn't go any further than that. It wasn't conscious, nothing else. At that point, it wasn't, you know, had no personality or anything. And then I started reading about how basically first cause is not very good science, and it just kind of, it hit me on a logical level. It was like, well, maybe we proved the force that was science, that was God, you know, if we had named it something, which I do sort of think that what most people called God in the old days is what we call evolution today as a scientific theory. But there's no consciousness to it, you know. As for differences, I've been breaking it down for so long that at this point I just feel more in control of my life and, like, I can do more independently. I'm having the realization that if I don't like it, I can change it.
So it's just a sense of empowerment that's changed. You feel more in control of your life.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah, it sounds like a great deal to me. I mean, I'm actually kind of one who wants to say that, if anything, this is the one of the supporting cases for the born not made dichotomy. So,
well, how?
I would agree. I definitely saw it in Bobo right away. I instantly saw there was something, you know, the black flame, call it what you want, but I could see it was there right away.
Actually, it's funny because my oldest son is very similar. Now, my other kids are not, but my oldest son is like, it was about a week ago, and this does not come from me, but he told his grandmother, he said, "Granny, believing in God is like believing in Santa. It's not real. He's 8, you know."
I was
right
that
on.
Kid once.
That would be me too. I was not disappointed at all when somebody told me that Santa Claus wasn't real. I kind of figured it out. So you can imagine that for me, the idea of some, you know, super life form, you know, interacting and manipulating all these circumstances around me to cause all this bad luck, I just couldn't believe that he would have that big of a grudge against me to start. So it just seemed kind of foolish, you know?
Well, the way I like put it is the fluffy white falling snow doesn't give a fluffy white falling dam.
Right on. Here's actually something real quickly that's interesting. We have 4 minutes left in the show, and guess who I found on the switchboard?
Zach.
Oh, the co-host.
Right.
Oh, he decides to show up with 2 minutes left to go. Good job, Zach.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Graybush, are you there?
Hey, guys. Hello.
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 Hey, I'm sorry, guys. I fell asleep. I'm sorry. How you guys doing?
Yeah, that's all right. We're glad you could make it, man.
Thanks, man. I'm sorry. I only made it the last 5 minutes. My bad.
That's all right, man. I made fun of you the whole time. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll archive it. How you guys doing? Sorry, I was just listening.
Oh, this is great.
Great. So, are you going to extend the show, Beast?
What's that?
Are you going to extend the show, or are we about done?
I can, man. It's really up to our guest of honor here if they want to hang out on the line for a little while longer.
Yeah, that's fine. It's going to get real loud for a second. I got to check on my kids. It's going to get real loud. I'm going to check on my kids. But, yeah, if you want to extend it, you can.
Well, if you extend it, I can jump in on this. Some of this stuff we talked about it last night.
Is that hard now?
Huh?
Is that hard now? Is that hard now on the other line?
Yeah.
Rawr.
You're killing me here, man. All right, I'm giving it another half hour.
Cool.
Yeah. Is it less hurry anyway?
Here's one of the things that I'm still trying to figure out about the culture is how sexually repressed the culture really is. Because my parents were swingers and nudists, so I didn't get that, you know, you should be afraid of girls or, you know, girls, you know, all this bullshit. So I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Well, now, for me personally, my parents actually approached that whole thing from more of a scare tactic because of my dad's belief system. I was less afraid that of God getting me for sinning as much as that I pretty much thought that if I had sex at all, I was like going to get AIDS and die instantly or get pregnant. And I was terrified of both. So they used a different method to kind of get that point across. But, I was scared of it. I mean, literally afraid. You know, and that just morphed into getting worse and worse and worse as years continued on.
Wow. So it's kind of like the baby Jesus tactic.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The actually really ironic thing is that I didn't lose my virginity until I was 17. I, like, did the whole chastity vow and the whole nine yards thing. And pretty much as soon as I did, I got pregnant. So they were kind of right.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. Zach, you're live, man, so you can talk.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Sorry, guys, I apologize. I took a little, you know, cat nap, and,
kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Who said that? Kill you. How you guys doing, man? I don't mean to bombard the show with my stupidity, but here we go. Ooh, Lord. Never mind.
You wouldn't be Zach if you didn't do outrageous things, man. So, welcome on.
I'm going to bury my head in the beach right here and just say, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've already talked about Bobo's sex. We've talked about her children's books. We've talked about, all kinds of things. How she got how she made the recent transition from adversarial Christianity to Levain Satanist, and Dan, what was that question you asked? Because that one was a good one too.
Get out of my room.
I asked her if exactly what the experience of transitioning from believer to non-believer was like, and if it had changed her perspective at all. And she gave quite a good answer.
Yep. Oh, fuck. So is there...
Here's the line. God damn it.
Get out of my room. I'm sorry. My kids just all decided to invade.
That's right. My toddler has fucking ooze detector on. If I'm on the ooze and he's home... Yeah, he's up my ass the whole time, pushing buttons on the keyboard, hanging up on people.
He wants to do it when he grows up, see?
Mm-hmm. That's certainly it. You ask him, you know, who's his hero, he'll tell you Batman, Superman, all the current comic book heroes, and then you ask him, aren't they superheroes? And he'll go, no, my dad's superhero.
Aw, that's so sweet.
He's funny. But he's definitely got a little glitch of the devil's own in him, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do. Mine all do a little bit. My youngest is probably the worst about it. I mean, he's mean. He's too, and he beats up his 8-year-old brother. I mean, that's not a good sign, you know.
I got a question. Since you're both parents, I'm not. And this is my opinion of if I have kids, how I raise them. I'm going to raise them to take over. You know, that's it. Teach them all the little games that are played in high school. Turn them on their heads. Wipe up.
So the question is?
Well, since you've actually got kids, what do you think?
I think you got to let them figure that kind of thing out for themselves. If you try to force anything on them, you're going to end up with exactly the opposite of what you want.
Oh yeah. My 12-year-old is actually a conservative Christian who wants to be a pastor when he grows up. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, my 12-year-old preaches at me regularly, actually.
Praise
about
Jesus.
How I need to repent. Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, the good news is that if you're a Satanist, your children will rebel and be everybody else's dream child in your nightmare.
Right.
That's just a question. I mean, how do you raise your children, you know, as a Satanist? How do you raise your children? Are you going to raise them as atheists? I don't know. You know, I've raised children myself, so...
I leave it all out of the equation, man.
I do too.
That's my take, you know. But I'm let them find their own way, you know. Yeah, give them a clear path and let them make their own decision.
Oh no,
right.
I agree absolutely, because they could be the kind that needs to believe in God, and I wouldn't want them to feel bad for that or to change their mind if necessary. I mean, I've let my kids go to church with their grandmother on several occasions. My oldest son doesn't care for it. My daughter really loves it, and I'm okay with that because most people's problems, I think, come from their parents pushed something on back against it.
Right. I subscribe to the whole serpent seed theory. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. The whole idea is that supposedly, you know, the serpent actually impregnated Eve, and that's where Cain came from. And so everybody in, you know, Cain's bloodline has a little hair of the devil in them. So anyway, the whole point of that is that I believe that when you try to force something on anybody, they have that bit of adversarialness to them generally. where they're going to rebel against it, especially if it comes down hard enough on them. So you know, that's why I tend to leave you know, issues like religion out of any conversation that I have with my kid. So
we can't think out below, you know, and yeah, people find a way to be adversarial or not. Either way, by their own choice and by their own discourse.
You know, I think that LaVey said it best. I mean, he did say that children are naturally defiant. He's absolutely right. As soon as you say, don't do this, that's what they want to go do, you know.
Well, that's like what I said in Dan Dredd's post. You know, Satanism begins with the word no.
Sean.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
Sean.
Yes.
What color is the sky?
Does it matter right now? I think if you look at, is anybody talking or is that somebody off mic?
That's background noise, buddy.
Okay, I think that Satanism is kind of in everybody because evolution builds on what's already there. It's like everybody has a brain, but I think it takes a part of that something that's naturally human, and there it's magnified in Satanists. For example, if you follow developmental psychology, like everybody's satanic at 3 or 2. And everybody's satanic as a teenager. It's just those of us who go on beyond that.
I would agree. The world is adversarial. I think it really comes down to a matter of perspective. You get programmed to sort of believe that the authority is coming from out there somewhere. And Satanists sort of just turn that around and start looking at the world from the other direction. It's the same world we're looking at. It's just a different way of looking at it.
Well, yeah, and I also think that we're taught that the power comes from somewhere else, not just in religion, but in everything. I mean, government, you look at the parent-child relationship, you look at the relationship with the school, you have the principal as the head of it. I mean, everything's set up where one person has all the power. So it makes sense as a conditioning to go right to believing in God, I think.
Well, I think that's a cultural thing. I mean, but the question is, like, what kind of situation are you in to be able to express that and actually challenge cultural beliefs? Because you challenge cultural beliefs and things that make people feel good, and the sheep come in and attack you.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I also think that a lot of times that it's so easy to just go along with society. I mean, it's so much more difficult to be adversarial. And what kind of form is that going to take on? Are you going to take it to a place of it actually being downright destructive? Or are you going to use it in a positive, uplifting, empowering manner?
Well, I challenge ideas to get the best idea possible. It's always a constant evolution. I don't know it all. I don't know, you know, I'm constantly in evolution. But when somebody says, I'm right, and therefore that you should accept it because I said it, and, you know, you're a loser if you don't believe me, I have a problem with that. I think that's naturally satanic.
I wouldn't disagree with that necessarily. Sorry, I'm actually looking. It looks like Zach fell off the switchboard again. Poor Zach, man. He's just failing all over the place today.
Now, culturally. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Culturally,
no, that's right.
If you're sitting there, I believe and everybody else believes, you can't stand alone. You don't have your own independent viewpoint. You need people standing behind you. And if the current way is going that way and you have to go with the flow, I don't think you're a Satanist.
Well, I would agree with that, but I would also say that there are a lot of genuinely good ideas, and shouldn't those at least be looked at? I mean, yeah, I think that you should try to turn them down, but at the end of the day, if they're valid, they're valid. You know.
Well, how do they prove if they're valid? They got to back it up. You know, it's like science. We look for proof and evidence. We don't take because I said so.
I'm totally against
Mike. The second one's free, by the way.
You know, if we don't test ideas, then what's the point? You know, we might as well believe our head is a door knocker.
All right, guys, I'm sorry I keep swinging on and off here. I've got a customer in the store, and it's just me, so. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Well, I think people who don't test their eye, I think people have nothing to test, just like any other, you know, snake oil salesman.
We've got a call from a 616 number on here. So, caller, you're on the line.
Hey, it's Lexi.
Hey.
616.
Hey, Lexi.
Hi. I'm having the feeling I'm been about to interrupt what you guys were talking about, but I'm kind of curious, Bobo, how you came to your, for lack of a better term, adjective, your forerunner for Satanist, how you came to the conclusion to become a Levian Satanist, and how you feel about the Church of Satan and other Levian Satanists not qualifying the adjective of Levian Satanist or taking on the adjective of Levian Satanist because they are that's just the right form of Satanism.
Well, now, adversarial Christianity, that was really combining Satanism with Christianity and kind of molding the two together. As for, I think that now with the Church of Satan, I would have joined it when Anton LaVey was alive. I almost joined it this time. The only reason I didn't is because I actually found a Satanic International Network. I don't like the amount of dogs that I attach to it. I don't feel that a lot of things are invalid because, quite honestly, they're somebody's belief system. And reality is subjective most of the time. So I believe that for a theist, it's genuine. Or for, you know, a traditional Satanist or even a spiritual Satanist, they really believe that, you know. So it's valid in their reality.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But when somebody says they believe in God, I look to see what they really mean, what kind of representation they're making, what they're working with, you know, in their mind. And so I'm more interested in what experience lies under God, under that name, than, you know, saying God doesn't exist or whatever.
So would you, in general, would everyone agree with more of a whatever works for you kind of mentality when it comes to accepting other people's beliefs and perspectives and things like that? Like, would you... if you say you're a Levian Satanist and someone says that, you know, like you said, they believe in God, would you be able to take any value from their perspective?
Oh, yes, yes. And I actually do. I think that a lot of the, I think that the theistic perspective is very interesting, actually. And I think that everybody has something of value to say about everything. I don't think that any one person has all the answers, even Anton LaVey. I mean, I think that my list against LaVey is just about as long as it is for LaVey at the end of the day.
Okay. Well, all right. What other forms, were there any other forms of Satanism that you considered taking on before you decided to take on LaVeyan Satanism as a title or a label?
Actually, no other forms of Satanism, but I was a hair breadth away from being a Thelemite. I actually am still part of the Middle Tennessee Thelemite study group. I think that Aleister Crowley had a lot of great things to say, and he's actually been a huge influence on me.
That reminds me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. We talked about something last night. You remember what we were talking about mental representations and using those?
Yes.
You got that from Thelema as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Most of what I've gotten is from Thelema. I mean, he talked about scientific illumination, and that's what magic was testing an idea repeatedly. Now, he was testing magic from a scientific slant, but I found that really fascinating.
And you have several representations that you use.
Mm-hmm.
I think Babylon, Lilith, could you say something about those?
I think that they're strong, misunderstood, and very powerful females. And, quite honestly, in most theologies, they're considered just as evil as Satan is, you know. So they're adversaries, too.
Well, I mean, why do you use them?
For me personally, I use them because I don't know, when I was a kid, and I didn't do a lot of visualizing of God or Satan, but I knew that Satan was a woman. I just knew it. It was like this intuitive thing. Satan has to be a girl. It makes logical sense that God is a boy and Satan is a girl. This is like, you know, this is like 4 or 5, 6-year-old understanding of it. But that's always stuck around. Even when I was older, I'd read things and think, oh, well, they don't get it. Satan's a girl. That's the whole thing here. So I needed to find female. Huh?
I'm sorry for interrupting you. I was saying that's an interesting concept because it would almost bring in the idea that Satanism is a masculine philosophy or religion and almost make it wrong of an assumption to make.
Well, it made it, I don't know, I mean, like I said, I always also just thought that Satan was misunderstood. This is, you know, even from the time I was a kid, that, like, Satan's misunderstood because girls are misunderstood most of the time.
Yeah, well, women are people, too.
Oh, boy. Something I found very interesting. Recently, I had been perusing through an article in the, the Academic Journal for the Scientific Study of Magic.
That sounds
volume
right.
Volume 3 has a an author's perspective of H.P. Lovecraft's Dream Quest of the Kadath, and in there, one of the things that he suggests is that that this place that Lovecraft is visiting is predominantly male because it's the inverse of the Kabbalah, and so you know, everything that's in the Kabbalah, I guess, is typically represented as being feminine and good and light and fluffy, and this place that he's going is in the inverse of it, and so it's male in orientation, and it's actually lacks any kind of feminine softness whatsoever. So I think it's interesting that Bobo has come to the conclusion that Satanism is more masculine in its interpretation generally, and
Well, I guess my only commentary there is just that I found it a fascinating connection between the article and what she was saying. So.
Well, yeah, and the other thing too, though, was that especially in relation to the Kabbalah, it's actually when you brought that up, that's ironic. That was part of my, especially when I first started this journey, I was like, see, I knew it was a girl. Kabbalism and, you know, Christians think Jews are evil, so there you go, you see.
Right on. Anyway, if you guys get the chance, it's issue 3. It's a really awesome article. You can't find the PDF of it online, though. You have to buy the book. So just throwing that out there. But there's some really good stuff in this, and it's actually a very interesting kind of scholarly look at occultism, which I don't think you find too much of that out there nowadays. It's more either done as like a social commentary or more fantastical, if I can use that word, if it is even a word, where this is given as more of like, here's the concept behind it, you know, these are the premises it's built off of, and this is what we think of it kind of thing. So I'm just throwing that out there because I've got to plug things that I read that are actually pretty good, because God knows I've read so many of them that are pretty bad.
What I was trying to get at with her representation thing was, we talked about this last night and it was fascinating. I connected a lot of dots because of some of the stuff she said. She was talking about making a representation and stepping into it and becoming that archetype as an actual process, a thing you do. Could you talk about that, please?
Oh, well, I try to visualize whatever it is fully, and then and it's like I was telling you, know, see, smell, sound, taste, touch. I research their mythology and all that, and I just try to visually at least step into to them to kind of see how they would interpret a situation.
Do you think that is a strength in your life? Does that help you get things done in your life a lot better, a lot easier?
It does, and I don't do it as much anymore as I used to. This is part of how I cleaned up my psychological garbage, so to speak, to get more to the core of who I was that I tried to be like, you know, some people say, what would Jesus do? It was kind of like, what would Babylon do, or what would Lilith do, or what would Morticia Adams do, for example.
Nice. So do you find that there are any personality traits that you have taken on permanently from that experience?
Oh, that are permanent now?
Yeah.
I think I'm at a more permanent place than I was before. I was very quiet and very shy and very... I didn't really put myself first at all. I mean, I did nothing for myself. I did everything for everybody else. And that was the first thing, was realizing that I needed to put myself first, you know, put on my own oxygen mask before I started running around trying to put out the fires all day. And that is permanent, and I don't think that will ever change. Everything else, I'm always willing to change my mind or look at things differently or reassess them because, you know, I don't think I'm done. I don't think I'll ever be done with this process. I think that's been possible.
Excellent.
That's awesome, actually.
It really is, yeah.
Round of applause. Rocking.
I have a question. I'm curious, you know, coming from some of the same experience that you have being a young mother, do you think that maybe being a young mother and some of the experiences that you wrote in your blog had some type of effect on that, or did that allow you to open up more?
Well, I think that the experiences that I've had, quite honestly, I think that we put ourselves through a lot of times just to get stronger, just to develop a lot of inner strength. And my ex, for example, that it probably made me stronger than anything else, because it was I developed a never again mentality, which means that I'm not going to let somebody run me over the same way as before or raise a hand to me without, you know,
rawr,
getting them back.
Rawr, rawr. I'm sorry, I'm getting turned on. Oh.
Okay. Now guys, I'm going to have to step away from the phone here for a few minutes, but I think you guys can handle having the rest of the five-minute conversation here, I'm assuming, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll come back on, hopefully right before the show ends. But in the meantime, I guess I'll kind of appoint Dan Dredd here as being the guy to keep the peace. So. I know he's going to love me for that.
Oh, thanks for the good laugh. I'm not used to being accused of such things.
I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, guys.
So we only have 5 minutes. I'd love to get into more about the representation and stepping into it because it's really fascinating to me anyway. I'm not as good as she is, but you know, we talked about it, and oh well.
Yeah, I have really good visualization skills and a very active imagination, and it kind of I think that everybody needs to develop an archetype of the adversary or Satan that's personal and applicable to their life to figure out who they really are, because I really do think that. And I've always thought that at the end of the day, it's representing the id or the subconscious or what you want to keep hidden. And that's the place where everything's kind of happening and everything needs to be kind of, you have to look at and examine it. A lot of people, you know, say that you need to get more in touch with your subconscious or your id and kind of mend your fence with it, so to speak. And I absolutely agree with that.
I agree with it too. It's just, how do you do it? You know, and that's a great way.
Did you take any special steps in choosing the exact archetypes to step into? Because I know you've mentioned Lilith a couple times, and I've done a little bit of study on Lilith myself, and I find her very interesting, and I intend on spending more time researching her. Did you take any special steps choosing those archetypes for yourself?
Well, I actually, the first thing I did was I tried to look at them as logically as possible. I don't know how much sense that makes, but I really went into their mythology, I mean, extensively, like to the point where, you know, I could probably write a pretty bad occult book on any one of them, you know, from my own point of view of how I think their archetype works. Their stories, it was like, you know, if I was in that situation, what would I do? You know, like with Lilith in the Garden of Eden, for example, that was a big one for me. I was like, well, I would probably do the same thing. I doubt the whole initial incident was about sex, but it was about submission. No, and, you know, that kind of stuff. I tried to personalize it as much as possible. Like, if I was there, what would I do? You know, and I kind of brought that forward as I could.
Did you kind of like step into their point of view and look through their eyes and feel what they... Well,
yeah.
Wait, you already said that, yeah. It's the experience of becoming them for a minute, or...
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Did you ever did this outwardly, like in real life, like real life situations that you were going through, what would they do if they were in your situation versus what you would do in their situation?
Well, from what I gathered, Bobo, that you kind of sort of felt it. You became them. So it was kind of like it was just in you to know what they would do.
Thanks, man. All right. Guys, we've got just about 40 seconds left. Bobo, thank you for calling in. Dan, Lexi, Zach, thanks for finally calling in.
Hell Satan, brother.
Hard No, thanks for calling in, guys. I appreciate everybody bearing with me in this kind of weird turn here, but hopefully, anyway, tomorrow will be... tomorrow should be interesting. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about LaVey, and I think everybody will want to tune into that. So with further ado, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks. Yeah.